Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
The Athletic.
Welcome to an emergency Why Always Us. I'm David Mooney, joined by Sam Lee. Hi, Sam.
Hello.
And we're talking emergency, not because Saudi Arabia have just beaten Argentina in the World Cup and you were invested in Lionel Messi winning the World Cup, but more because we've just had the news that a deal has been agreed for Pep Guardiola to stick around at City.
Yeah.
Sam, over to you.
Yeah, well, I mean, it is emergency because I was working on the Argentina game. You know, and it was like a kind of, okay, by the final whistle, I'll have this bit ready. And obviously, it was a bit mad how that was developing. And then halfway through the second half, we kind of got the go-ahead to publish the story. It was Sunday night, though, that we knew about this behind the scenes. I think that agreement that you talked about there for the two-year deal that came over the weekend, me and Paul were having discussions about that. Paul can't be here now because he's putting together the kind of the background read on how it all came about. And I think people will be very pleased to read that. I guess that'll be published, I don't know, tomorrow, maybe.
Yeah, it might be at the same time as this. It might be slightly before or after, so I don't know.
Yeah, what, I don't know. It might be around the official announcement, but I don't think that official announcement is too far off. Sunday night we were kind of ready to do something and then the brakes on a bit, boring journalism, politics, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, all of a sudden, yeah, for whatever reason, comes about during the second half of the Argentina game, just as they're kind of trying to lay siege to the Saudi Arabia goal. And probably one of the, like, that's going to be one of the all-time World Cup games, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like when Argentina lost to Cameroon in 1990. Like, that's going to be that. People still talk about it. So, yeah, great game. And then this Pep stuff was kicking off. But, yeah, I don't think anybody's too shocked by it. Obviously, it's great news. It's the news everybody wanted. And it's, you know, it's like if a team's pushing for a goal and then the goal comes, you're still happy about it. But it was coming. It felt like that, didn't it? It didn't feel like 2 years ago when it was like he could go here. He could go at the end of the season. City aren't playing well. He's irritable. Looks like he's had enough. And he could go. And then he signed the new contract and all of a sudden it was, oh, wow, great news. Well, a lot of people thought it was great news. To be fair, I didn't know if that was necessarily going to fix
things. We still wanted to be convinced, didn't we? And then, boy, were we
convinced.
Well,
in fairness, yeah. it wasn't like they fixed it straight away. You know, it was another month of the same performances and then, you know, kind of Fernandinho got all the players together and all of that kind of thing. Anyway, yeah, so it's just different to last time. Last time was very much a, he could go here. This time was, I think everybody knew. Well, everybody knows. I can't sit here and say, oh, he's got, you know, great support of Man City and there's this and there's that. Obviously, you know, there are little examples of that we can talk about, but also I don't want to steal the thunder of the article that Paul's putting together now. But, you know, there's things that, there's gestures that the board have done in the last year or so and last couple of months just to kind of push and prove to Guardiola that, look, we're going to give you everything you want. And it's not just we're going to sit down and offer you an extra like $5 million a year. We're going to show that you've got everything you need. You know, Akanji is a big part of that. You know, Akanji, obviously came in, we were going on about the company comparisons early on. You know, he's not been quite so 10 out of 10 in a few games since then and been moved around to right back, hasn't really worked. But he might have a very important role in just City generally no matter how good he is, because City signing him when Guardiola was very worried about a centre-back and the depth at the back was a big sign to Guardiola that, okay, yeah, these guys are going to, they are going to back me. You know,
they're serious about keeping me around, yeah.
Exactly, like, because we talked, didn't we? And you know how much of City squad building is. We don't want to keep loads of players around if they're not going to play. You know, we're not just going to keep players here against their will, or we don't want too much competition, because if you've got players who aren't playing, there'll be, you know, bad faces on the training pitch and all that. But all of a sudden, there was five centre backs, and we were going, "Well, how does that work?" And it's not City's normal squad planning way, is it? But this was, you know, it was what Guardiola wanted. He was worried after Nathan Ake went off against Newcastle that they wouldn't have depth at the back because, you know, the problems they had, because Laporte was still injured. I think Stones was injured. And I don't think Guardiola's got much faith in Stones being injured or being fit consistently.
Being fit, yeah.
Obviously, Diaz. We've not seen Diaz too much recently. So there's a bit of an inconsistency there. So obviously, Guardiola was like, "Well, I think we really need something." And the team and the management were like, "All right, well, we'll go and sort it out for you." And that was a kind of big gesture. You know, like I say, there will be more in the article. And then, look, I think he basically decided that he was going to stay. The agreement kind of came over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was, I mean, we talked about this over the last... I mean, I've kept on the podcasts, kept dropping in that question, any news for the start of the season. And then was it going into the Brighton game or was it going into no sorry the Brentford game or was it going into the Fulham game the week before, where he basically in the entire embargoed pre-match was talking about how great it was, and you know that discussions would have to be had, but he was basically saying, "I am likely to stay around. Something might change, but I'm in the frame of mind where I kind of want to stay."
Everything was a rundown, basically. From before the Leicester game, everything was kind of a rundown to this. Not even as directly as him saying, like, "Oh, I'm happy," and blah, blah, blah. It was just kind of, when he talked about complacency, which is why I kept those quotes and did a whole article on it after the Leicester game. And he talked about how the last time City did back-to-back, you know, the reaction wasn't there. There was a bit of complacency set in. He goes, "But this time it's completely the opposite." And he talked about specific examples last time. But now there's none of that. So obviously that is one box ticked. The players are still listening to him. And the players, you know, they're not consistent and they're not complacent. But then obviously after the Fulham game, he kind of doubled down on that. And he talked about, and this is another thing, I think he'd already made that decision, or, you know, kind of, he was leaning towards staying. Obviously he hadn't agreed, but he was leaning towards staying before that Fulham game. And then, you know, that Fulham game and the commitment, you know, we talked for ages about how good they were in that game, the individual performances, the collective performances, all that kind of stuff. After that, how beaming he was about, you know, because we haven't won the Premier League today, but this is one of the highlights, you know, we had to celebrate this with our people and all that kind of stuff. And he goes, you can worry about being 6 or 7 years together. He goes, hundreds and thousands of meetings and travel and all of this, are they tied? But you could see they were there. They were still kind of, I don't think he said with me, but that's it, isn't it? Yeah. When they talk about being bored or tired, it's not specifically just with the manager, but it often is. And it's the old thing of, you either change the manager or you change the players. But clearly in this case, he doesn't need to change the players.
Well, they changed a few players in the summer.
So he doesn't feel like he needs to change himself. Well, there is that. I mean, there we go. It's already done, isn't it? In terms of shipping out players, again, I don't want to tread on the toes of this article, but you know, there were kind of other motivations as well as the players wanting to move on. You know, the players who moved out kind of needed to happen to evolve the kind of team and the team spirit and stuff. Not all of them, but again, you'll see that in the article. And then the players coming in, you know, even going back to Grealish, massive fan. He was a massive fan of Grealish. And then City was spent, again, it's not something City do, but they spent £100 million on him. And then obviously they went for Kane, knowing that number 9 was a priority. They had a bit of a wild goose chase there, but they obviously threw everything at Haaland. We've talked about Haaland and how, you know, Madrid were kind of ahead in their race at January, but City kind of did all they could. Obviously, maybe, you know, Benzema being there and the Mbappe situation and stuff, looking like Mbappe was going to Madrid. Maybe that, you know, kind of was a perfect storm. But obviously City did all the pushing that they could possibly do to get him. Yeah. And
there's no point in having a perfect storm if you're not going to take advantage of it, is there?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, He couldn't sign for Real Madrid for whatever reason, but he didn't go to Bayern Munich. He didn't go to Man United or whatever. City did what they did, obviously, because they've got the financial means to do it. But like with everything else, they work hard, they work smart, and obviously they've got the sporting project that speaks for itself. So it's just all of these kind of factors combined. To go back to what I was saying earlier, we were, like, nobody was really expecting he was going to go. It would have been a shock if he hadn't signed a new contract. And we were all kind of, I don't know if anybody ever wrote it, I'm sure they probably did, but it always just seemed like, yeah, during the World Cup, they'll sort it out. And considering it was basically done around the time Qatar were playing Ecuador, if not before, then it was hardly a we'll sit down during the World Cup and we'll sort it out. It was literally just...
Yeah.
We'll sit down and we'll negotiate and say, I'm not sure about this, I'm not sure about that. We need to do this or we need to do that, or you'd better sign this guy in January, blah, blah, blah. It was, give us a paper then. Where's the pen?
Yeah, I was going to say, it's exactly that, isn't it? Because all the noises in the run-up to the World Cup was, well, we need to... We'll talk during the World Cup. I mean, the other thing he said in those pre-match press conferences was, that Cheeky has to respect that I'm on holiday. I'm on holiday for the World Cup, at the beginning of the World Cup. It's like, you've done it immediately. So it's like, how much on holiday were you actually, really? It was just... It was all just kind of kicking the can down the road
He was at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, wasn't he? Was there a golf event as well in Abu Dhabi that I think he was at? I think Batistuta was there as well, actually.
I must admit,
just because I happened to see an article.
Yeah, I must admit, golf is not my strength, so I'm not going to answer that question.
Oh, I've just started playing. I'm really enjoying it. But if we're really struggling for time on this podcast, then I can start...
No, we can talk through your golf, yeah.
about my various issues there. So he was in Abu Dhabi. His brother was there, obviously. His brother... an agent, influential figure around City. Simon Pearce was there at the Grand Prix. Big. But again, his ties to Abu Dhabi go back beyond City, I think. So it's no real surprise that he would be there. You wouldn't be able to see like paparazzi pictures and go, oh, what's going on? Because it's completely feasible that he would be there. But also when you look at it and you just think it's all, it was all obviously being sorted out. But that's the thing, Guardiola saying I'm on holiday. Maybe they had a quick detour in... I suppose the season did finish 2 weeks ago, didn't it?
Yeah.
But quick detour to Abu Dhabi. I don't know, maybe that's the end of his holiday then. Is that the end of it? And he's going to go back to City and start planning now?
Starting work tomorrow.
What's the date? The 22nd. Because the players are back on the 5th, and then they go into Abu Dhabi for a bit. I think they're planning to play Girona on the 17th. So yeah, that's the kind of plans for going back. Maybe he's got a month and he's just gone to Abu Dhabi to sort this out, and he's going to go somewhere else now. Easier to get to the Maldives, I guess. He was on holiday, but it was like I say, the wind was always blowing in that direction, wasn't it? He'd obviously decided he was going to do it, and then it became a like I say, they don't have to sit down and. Well, unless the agent's been doing it behind the scenes for that long, saying, I want this amount of money, I want this amount of money. It's just a give us the pen situation, isn't it?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
I can't imagine that there was a lot to really sort out. When you think back to the extension in, 2020, wasn't it? Yeah. When you think back to that extension, I can kind of imagine that there was a lot to sort out because the team weren't in good form. You could, like you say, he was looking a bit irritable and you could kind of see that he might need a bit of convincing.
Yeah, it seemed 50-50, didn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe at least, maybe it even felt a bit 60-40 in terms of him going.
But this time around, you kind of go, well, everything kind of seems set up. You've had a great summer in the transfer market. You've had a pretty good start to the season. Okay, it finished on a bit of a sour note against Brentford, but, these things happen from time to time. everything is set up, and he's looked really happy in the last few weeks, and the way he's been speaking has suggested that he's been feeling that as well. It didn't feel like there was any pressure on this decision like there would have been on the one in 2020. In 2020, he had to kind of, I don't want to say win it back round, but you know what I mean. He had to turn things around he had to turn the ship from the direction it was on. Whereas now he's just kind of maintaining the ship, keeping things ticking over because it's all running smoothly right now.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there's the other thing as well. Like, it is running smoothly and, you know, Haaland's bedded in and that's going well. But, like, do you remember when Guardiola came and he won the first six games and we were all like, bloody hell, this is going to steamroll everything. And obviously they didn't, but Guardiola was, oh, there's so much more to come. And looking back now, like, at the time we were like, what do you mean? This is so good. Six games in a row. Like, this is amazing. But, like, looking back now, is that team compared to this, not just in terms of the players, but, like, in terms of how they play and how they use the ball, just everything.
I did a nostalgia podcast on that season with Kieran Murray on Blue Moon recently, and that, like, we're just reminiscing about some of the mad stuff that happened that year and how they were playing. I was like, it's so far removed. It's like the gulf is almost as big as like when Stuart Pearce went to Sven for the next season. Like the change that you had in City that year. I mean, it's obviously different scales, but like the change from Guardiola year one to Guardiola. I mean, me and you have done a podcast it might have been about 18 months ago or so, where we talked about the different eras of Guardiola, the different styles that each of his teams had and how they've all played. He's revolutionized this side a couple of times. But from that first season is kind of the outlier. It's the one where that doesn't really fit into any other era of Guardiola at City. And it's mad, the gulfing class between that good team and where they are now.
Yeah, so I mean, just a quick little signpost in terms of like the eras of Guardiola and, you know, how he's revolutionised a team and changed a team. I think it's fair to say not everybody is either not necessarily happy, but always understanding of what they're doing now. In terms of the patient football, people don't really like it, do they? I'm not saying it's overwhelmingly unpopular, but whenever
City
don't win well, or they don't, well, I mean, in terms of people who don't support City, there's obviously the whole boring stuff. But then the people who do support City, you know, against Brentford is, oh, you know, we're too patient, we should blah, 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 and all of this. Just as a quick signpost, I wouldn't say I've done an interview with Bernardo Silva, but I managed to get him in the mix zone as part of the group of journalists about a month ago by asking about 5 minutes worth of questions. Well, I asked him like five questions and he answered for like a minute or whatever about how his role's changed over the years. And then after the Chelsea game, maybe in the Carabao Cup, I asked him another couple of questions. He spoke for about 2 or 3 minutes. So I've got a good like solid 8 minutes of him explaining the change in his game and also what Guardiola wants from them. So in terms of this latest iteration and how he's kind of revitalized City and how it is now and what we need to kind of get used to when we're watching them, that's going to come out, I guess, when Portugal play their first game in the World Cup, hopefully. But then to go back to what I was saying then about the first season of Guardiola and what you're saying, like, it's a bit of an outlier. It's so different now. Like, obviously they were kind of heading in the right direction, but it was obviously they didn't win the league, but it was good, heading in the right direction, but a bit rough around the edges. And that's kind of my point going back to Haaland. Like, he's settling in, he's going well, but in terms of Guardiola signing the contract again, it always felt like, why would you get this number nine that you've been desperate for? And not just a number nine, but this goal
the
maniac.
Number nine, yeah.
And then have a year and go, right, see you later. Like, it just would have been so weird. Like, this is such an exciting team now. Like, Foden, Alvarez, Haaland, I'm going to say Grealish as well. You know, Rodri's really found his feet in there. Okay, there's a bit of work that's going to need to be done in midfield with Bernardo and Gundogan, let's say uncertain. Maybe in 2 years or like the summer after next, De Bruyne winding down or moving on or whatever. But, you know, defence, there's a good kind of foundation there.
Yeah, we talked to 5 centre-backs. It's the full-backs with the defence.
And on a full-back, yeah. But it's like it would have been weird, mainly because of Haaland, to just get him in and then say this coming summer, no, forget it, I'm done now. It's not, I mean, I suppose until they win the Champions League, you can use this phrase, unfinished business, but it just seems like just continuing the business. You know what I mean? Like, the business is going well. Like, why quit on it now? And sometime, you know, I'm sure when he leaves, maybe it'll be like that November 2020 situation and everything's kind of crumbling and everyone goes, okay, it was best to leave in the end. But I'd imagine that when he does leave, it's probably going to be, you know, he's got another Premier League title in his hands, maybe even the Champions League, and it's 9 years or 10 years or 11 years or whatever. And he just, you know, it's been a long time. Time to call it a day. You can't go on forever. But at the moment, even though it's been 7 years, which is more than anyone ever thought, which is more than he ever thought, it is just going so well. And clearly there's energy still in the tank, but loads of it. So it's nowhere near that. This is a good thing, but all good things come to an end. It's nowhere near that. It's this good thing can carry on for a few more years. And like the thing is, with the 2 years, it's technically it's like a one and one.
Yeah, I was going to say, let's just clear up the details of that.
Yeah, so it's a 2 year extension. So obviously that'll be from. So we're still going to do the contract until next summer, which is 2023, and then another 2 years until the summer of 2025. But if he did, or if City did, want to break it in 2024, they could do. But the best thing to put that into context is that's exactly what they did in November 2020. And obviously, if Guardiola had have wanted to break it in the summer just gone, then he could have and he would have. And if City wanted to get rid of him, then they could have and they would have. But obviously, City are never going to want to get rid of him. And even if there's a break clause in the contract or not, let's say there was no break clause in the contract, but Guardiola wanted to go next summer. City aren't going to force him to stay, are they?
Yeah.
But they'll just go, fine, you can go. So it's not like, oh, he could leave.
It's another Haaland release clause, isn't it? It's just a formalization of that process. Like
if Haaland says, I really want to go, and here's Real Madrid paying 150 million, then they'll go, all right, fine. So it's the same thing, exactly. But like, if that clause wasn't there, just imagine Guardiola being kept against his will. Like it wouldn't really happen with any manager. Like City would do everything they could to persuade him, but they wouldn't make him stay. And obviously this kind of contract situation just means that they don't have to mess. It doesn't have to get messy. They can just go, okay, yeah, fine. But again, like I say, as long as the good times keep going, you know, he realizes how good everything is. And again, City aren't going to rest on their laurels now, are they? They're not the type of team. Maybe some people who are annoyed about them not signing a left back. And I think that'll be in Paul's article as well. Some interesting stuff on the left back chase previously, not necessarily going forward. Maybe some people will be like, well, you know, they've been lazy here. And that's something you hear, isn't it, when City lose? Yeah. You know, they've been complacent. They've not signed a left back, not signed a striker, blah, blah, blah. But City don't rest on their laurels, do they? So now Guardiola stay, they're not going to be like, okay, well, we'll just let things slide a bit. And if he gets a bit pissed off, that's fine. They're going to keep on making him happy, aren't they? So
yeah, it's not the final days of Pellegrini, is it? Where they're just keeping the shop ticking over till the man they wanted arrived.
Yeah, exactly. It's just as it is now. Everything's happy and they'll crack on. I also remember when Guardiola signed that new contract, his first one. Was that the end of the first season? It was the end of the
end of the Centurions,
season,
yeah.
It? And I remember, I can't remember how long the contract was, but let's say signed a new 2 year deal. And obviously, all of us, like Manchester reporters, were like, that'll keep him here for like 5 years. That'll be the longest he's ever stayed at a club. And I remember some people and one fairly notable journalist being like, oh, if he stays, oh, you know, and it was just that kind of, there was always that kind of skepticism about, but you know, skepticism among the kind of usual subjects, really, but suspect. That, oh yeah, he might go, blah, blah, blah. But clearly, it's just not the same. And people have done it with Klopp as well. Like, oh, 7 years. It's like, well, it's happened before. It doesn't mean it's going to happen again. Like the whole idea of, oh, Guardiola's going to crack under the pressure and go on a sabbatical. All right, like if he does this contract, I still feel like saying if he does this contract, but when he does this contract, he'd been there for 9 years. Literally, nobody would have said he's going to be there for 9 years when he came. Yeah.
Since he haven't had a manager that lasted 16. That long since Les McDowell in the 50s and 60s, 13 years up until 1963.
Well, it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen these days. Like how many managers have? How many managers have stayed at teams for that long in the Premier League? Certainly in the last 20 years, it doesn't really happen. It's just, you know, it's just a kind of sign of how well things are going. And as we've already discussed, you know, the way City continue that, you know, being shrewd with the business. And even going back to like 2017, when they were bringing in like Edison and that, and they paid $45 million for Edison. And I remember somebody saying to me, City, you don't mind paying that amount because they believe that the transfer market this summer is going to explode and fees will go crazy. And by the end of it, that'll look about right. And then Neymar happened to PSG, and that's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And did Liverpool sign Alisson that summer?
Summer 70? After, wasn't it?
Summer after.
Yeah, summer after.
And like Kepa went to Chelsea for for 70. Like, they are, you know, they do have a very good idea of what other clubs are doing and how the market's going to move, and all that kind of stuff just ties into being able to keep the ship running. Guardiola's happy. They built in that big apartment in Manchester by, you know, knocking different apartments through and all that, which was in Paul and Lou's book years ago. And from then on, as well as paying him very well, it's just all football stuff, isn't it? It's, are the facilities good? Are the players good? Are you selling the players I want to sell? Are you bringing in the players I want to bring in? And the answer is yes. And here we are again.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
The weird thing with this season as well has been, I guess it's the feeling of that inevitability of it, of the contract. Because when you think back to 2020, I guess it kind of comes with City not playing too well at the start of 2020 as well. But I just remember the uncertainty, the questions every single week about, you know, is it having an effect on the team? Is that one of the reasons why things aren't going so well? This season, I guess, kind of proves that you can get on with the job while that speculation is hanging over the club.
It's purely results and performances that created that stuff.
Yeah.
But is it a distraction? No, obviously.
Clearly not, because they're doing all right this season. But it's nice that that's been put to bed. I'm interested in kind of what effect it has going forward as well, because I've long been a proponent of the arguments around City, teams not being able to compete with City. I think always boil down to they've got Guardiola, and Guardiola is really, really good. I accept the resources element is that, you know, City can go out and spend a lot of money, but there are other clubs that can go out and spend a lot of money. This is a discussion now that will carry on for probably another 2 years, because Guardiola is going to, at least for the next two seasons, carry on doing what he's doing.
Let's not get into that whole non-competitive. I mean, we've talked about it enough. You know, like, it's nice to have this break, as much as anything with the World Cup. It's nice just to have a break from the daily grind of the City news cycle, or just opinion cycle of, oh, it's not competitive and it's not fair, blah, blah, blah. I've said loads of times, as you just mentioned there, that Guardiola's the difference there. Like, yeah, like, City have spent loads of money. Chelsea spent loads of money. United have spent loads of money. Why aren't they relentlessly winning it? Because I'm sure if Guardiola was at those clubs, I don't know, maybe it wouldn't be four league titles out of five, but I'm telling you, they'd have won more. That's the difference. It's that kind of consistency. It's that level of coaching. It's that detail. And again, one hand washes the other. It's the way that the club support him and everything. So the clubs do support him well, and obviously the money the City have got, the way they use it, puts them in a great position. But it's Guardiola that has really galvanised that. And like I keep saying, when the new manager comes in, if he carries on and whoever it is that they win four titles in 5 years, then we're either going to have to decide, is this unfair and non-competitive, or is the next manager brilliant as well? But I'm convinced that City aren't going to do what they've done with the next manager. And we'll see then that, oh, it's not the money, it's not state-backed, it's not whatever. It's just Guardiola's the
genius.
One.
Yeah,
it's the one. Yeah, Guardiola is a genius, and he's pulling this all together. And you can spend a lot of money on players, and you can sign great players. Jadon Sancho, great player, not at the World Cup, not even in the conversation. Struggling at United. Like, okay, he left City. We can talk about. I'm not doing this to big up like Guardiola and City in this sense, because obviously he left City. So on the other flip side of that coin is he left City because he didn't think of getting the first team at that point. Went to Dortmund, did very well, and he wouldn't have had the opportunity to see at City. But then if we're talking about bringing in top players, like if Haaland had gone to United 2 years ago instead of Dortmund, would we be talking about this this animal striker now, or would we be talking about a player who just kind of frustrated because he didn't get chances? It's just everything's set up, and by that I mean the coaching, to make these top players thrive. So City identify good players, they come in and they play better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, some like the best football, Aguero and Silva and company maybe, Fernandinho, ever played was under Guardiola. Like, these are top players who'd already, they'd already been City legends if they'd have just left before Guardiola came. But they were playing the best football of their career. Like, Sterling reached incredible heights under him. Obviously, De Bruyne. Like, De Bruyne would have been a great player if he'd carried on playing on the right wing for Manuel Pellegrini. He would have been a great player. But he wouldn't be the all-time best midfielder or player in the Premier League. He wouldn't be in that conversation without him. You know, it's just that it just goes back to the whole stupid Guardiola's a fraud because he had Messi and Xavi and Iniesta. It's like, well, Frank Rijkaard had Messi, Xavi and Iniesta and they were fucking shambles. like, what are you talking about? Like, he helped make them brilliant. And it's the whole he can't win the Champions League without Messi situation. And it's like, well, he made Messi better as well.
Yeah.
Like, that's another one hand washing the other situation. Like, he helped make Messi better. Messi helped boost Guardiola's profile, obviously, because he was scoring all the goals and helping them win stuff. But he was scoring that many goals because Guardiola was kind of telling him where to run. You know, he kind of introduced the whole false nine thing to him.
Yeah. Well,
rest is history.
Like, yeah. Let's tap into that as well, because you mentioned you used the phrase unfinished business when you talked about the Champions League. Obviously, Guardiola is on the verge of signing, stroke has just signed this 2-year extension. I'm not going to turn the end of this podcast into when's he going to leave and what's going to happen, because that's another can that can be kicked down the road for later.
It doesn't matter.
There's this idea that as soon as he wins the Champions League, that's it, he's done the set, and that's it, he's finished his business at City. How true could that be? Because let's say, for instance, things go well, he wins it this season. Then, it's almost a case that extension then is redundant if that's all he's here to do. So I don't believe it can be.
Yeah, it's a funny one, because there's been pretty credible rumours going back to 2019, and obviously at that point, the end of the 18-19 season, obviously City were in the other competitions as well, and they ended up winning the domestic treble. But there was, you know, pretty credible stuff going on there that, you know, Guardiola was like, oh, maybe it was a jokey comment said in private, but I think he'd certainly said, oh, if we win the Champions League, I'm off. And that would have been like after three seasons. And that, you know, that I do think that was pretty legit. I think... Was that floating around? I can't remember if that was definitely floating around again after Porto, when obviously they did get to Champions League final, or if that was just kind of going back to previous stuff. And again, it's one of those, isn't it? It's one of those kind of things that people say, but with no real basis. Like, oh, Guardiola's going to have a sabbatical and he'll get tired and have to leave, which was bollocks. And, you know, one of those things people say, and then as soon as you question it, you go, what do you mean? Like, I was asked a question on something the other day. It was like, about Haaland. And it was like, well, Guardiola doesn't really work with strikers, does he? I was like, what are you talking about? Like, what about Aguero? What about Lewandowski? Like, obviously, Thomas Muller's not the same as Lewandowski, but he's a forward in that mold that he kind of put him in different positions. Like, but even Aguero and Lewandowski are two massive examples of him playing with a striker. Like, and again, it all goes back to that Ibrahimovic book and him losing his ass because Guardiola decided to think, well, if Messi plays down the middle, then he's going to be the best player of all time. So, sorry, Ibra, but you're off, mate. And maybe he didn't handle it brilliantly on a man management kind of thing. And, you know, we know man management wise, you know, not all the players love Guardiola, but they certainly, you know, most of them respect him, or at least they do what he asks them to, because they know they're going to win matches.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're going to win matches. They're going to win trophies. So maybe he could have handled that better. But the whole thing just goes back to that Ibrahimovic complaint about, well, just being moved out for Messi. What do you mean doesn't work without a striker? And it's just one of those things. Oh, in fact, just a little sidebar. All this Ronaldo stuff before the World Cup, you know, the interview with Piers Morgan.
Yeah.
And basically he's come out of it looking stupid, hasn't he? Everyone's just like, this guy is like, it's way off it. Who does he think he is kind of thing? And then that's led to kind of conversations that, God, imagine he had signed for City And imagine he had signed for City and then City had signed Haaland and then he got moved out for Haaland, which is just a no-brainer, isn't it? Like, you'd have to say, sorry, Ronaldo, but we've got Haaland now, so this is how it's going to work. He would then be doing the same thing and he'd be kicking off and whatever. But that's the same thing as Ibrahimovic and Messi. And people take the Ibrahimovic stuff as gospel now. And it's like, well, hold on a minute. If you actually look at it, that decision to put Messi through the middle was absolutely bang on. Okay, maybe the handling of it wasn't.
Maybe go as far as say it's one of the best football decisions of all time.
Yeah, exactly. But no, that's just in the kind of common conscience that, oh, he was, I don't know, he doesn't like big egos or whatever. It's like, no, he doesn't like dicks. But and then that's the other thing with Ronaldo, isn't it? Like, if Ronaldo had been at City now, given an interview saying, oh, well, this, that, and the other, everyone now in real time, when everything's microanalyzed, and we've got the Athletic to write 3,000 words on everything, and everyone's tweeting everything, everyone would just say, what are you talking about, mate? Like, Haaland's amazing. You're being an idiot, which is exactly, I think, what happened 10 years ago, more, with the Messi and Ibrahimovic thing. But anyway, it becomes one of those things that people say, which doesn't really have any basis. And I'm wondering now if that he'll leave after the Champions League is one of those things. Because obviously they want to win it. Obviously they're desperate to win it. And we said recently, didn't we, about, you know, Guardiola. If you just listened to Guardiola recently, you wouldn't think that he was too judgy of other managers or, you know, other teams and how they play football. He's just kind of like, our teams can do what they do. But we know deep down, or certainly before, he was very much a that shit football.
Yeah.
Everyone should play. Kind of like Saudi Arabia. Well, Saudi Arabia. I mean, they got lucky, didn't they? In a way, they were very brave, but they got lucky. But, you know, at least play with that bravery, play on the front foot, try and have the ball more than Saudi Arabia did, but there's kind of, I'm muddy in the waters there. But if you just listen to Guardiola recently, you would just think he's not that bothered about the Champions League, is he? He is more bothered about the team being consistent and in the Premier League. And, you know, if they go out onto the pitch and they give everything, then he can't really have any complaints. And that's football, and he's moved on. And he seems very kind of, he's just at peace, isn't he? I think we've said this before. He's just at peace with everything. He's just very zen about everything. Like, he'll get to the end of the season. And like, I think we might have even talked about it in the run-in last season. Like, if City had drawn a game, Not necessarily the Villa game on the end of the season, because that would have been a real fuck.
That's a killer,
but,
yeah.
But if City had just drawn a game, like if that Palace game had have been repeated, where, you know, they'd created enough decent chances and they were unlucky to not to score and not to win. And then obviously Liverpool won their game and they won the title by 1 point or 2 points. He'd obviously been badly disappointed, but it'd have been like, well, that's football, you know. We did our job. We didn't play badly in that game that cost us. And then you can just extend that to the Champions League. And I mean, it'd have been, I was going to say tearing his hair out. It'd have been like at his wit's end about the Real Madrid game, like everybody was. But, and like, it would have been so down about that, but... And he kind of knew the issues there, but City were good in those games. And yeah, they shot themselves in the foot a little bit, more so in the first leg. But he's just kind of zen about it all. And if they don't win, and this is the other thing, people on the outside now, because they've moved the goalposts so much, going back to when he came, it was all, can he hack it in the Premier League? He's going to crack under the pressure and have a sabbatical. People weren't saying, oh yeah, they're going to win two titles, but it was just, oh yeah, well, he might not be able to do it in the Premier League, you know, this is different, blah blah blah. He's absolutely battered everybody's expectations. It's four titles in 5 years.
I always go back to, yeah, there was a Stan Collymore piece, wasn't there, in his first season. If Guardiola can come here and think he can win the title playing this sort of football, then he's got another thing coming.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's on us for listening to those kind of opinions. But that is typical, isn't it, of the kind of stuff that was being said. Or even if it wasn't kind of as inflammatory as that, the debates were kind of...
What is tackles? Well, you know, still the best thing he's done at City.
Yeah, it is, yeah. Yeah, absolutely it is. But like, the debates would have been, even like the reasoned debates would have been, oh yeah, you know, we don't know how it's going to go though. Like, this is different football. It is like more physical, blah, 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 blah. Nobody was sure back then how it was going to go. And now that's why he's so satisfied now. If he leaves City now, if he leaves City in 3 years or he leaves City in 5 years and he hasn't won the Champions League, if he hasn't won the Champions League in the next 5 years, then fucking hell. Something mad has happened. But if they keep winning the Premier League at the same rate, it's broadly the same. So now his situation is he's there every day. He knows that nothing is taken for granted. And while everybody on the outside has kind of changed the goalposts and it's, okay, well, it's City, isn't it? They've got loads of money and what do you expect? they're obviously going to win the title every season. He's kind of there at the coalface, the kind of most luxurious, extravagant coalface you can get. But at the coalface, seeing the players coming in, seeing them too knackered to look at their phones after Brighton, seeing them too knackered to do anything after Fulham, and, you know, with 10 men and all that. And he knows the demand and that it takes and the desire from the players to come in and keep winning and keep winning. And we're not just talking, you know, we talked earlier on about City buying players that are good and they come in and they play well. But, you know, United do that and they don't play well. Barca do that and they don't do that. Other teams, like, there is no guarantee that the good players you buy are going to come in and play well. But with City, it happens more often than not. Is that because they've got more money than everyone else, or is that because of the environment? But then teams that win trophies don't necessarily win trophies again. City are the only team since United, and the only other team to do it were Chelsea. In the whole Premier League era, have actually defended the trophy, because it's not just coming in, playing well and winning it. It's going again and winning it again.
Yeah.
And Guardiola sees that every day. And okay, people are going to listen to this podcast with a completely different point of view to me, and they're going to think I'm mad talking about, you know, this lavishly assembled squad with world-class players everywhere, 16 players at the World Cup. Okay, it's easy, but it's not easy. That's hard. It's hard to manage that kind of amount of top players, because look at all the managers who go into teams like David Moyes at United, Rafa Benitez at Real Madrid, and you kind of play a style of football that isn't up to the expectations of that squad. And the expectations of the club in terms of, well, we're this team, we play in a certain way and we win, and, you know, we attack and blah, blah, blah. And you get laughed out of town within the first season. You know, there's coaches, like Juan Mar-Leo is a great example. Like, Juan Mar-Leo is every much as a football genius as Guardiola in terms of his tactics and his reading of the game. But Juan Mar-Leo couldn't come in and manage Arsenal, Chelsea, Man United in the Premier League and get top results, because there's obviously something else in Guardiola. There's that kind of aura about him. There's, like I say, the man management, you know, isn't 10 out of 10, but, you know, it's the same. I don't, you know, at Liverpool, not all the players think the sun shines out of Klopp's backside either. It's just, that's just normal. But there's something that can make these amazing football geniuses, tactical, amazing coaches, stand up at the very top of the game and do it, but then not just do it, but keep doing it. So Guardiola's inside that every day. He sees these players. And I think this is what he said recently. They've won so many. He said they could think, oh, we've won the Premier League, we're in the starting 11. Why do we have to bother pushing now? Why do we have to run this extra 5 yards? Why do we have to do what he's saying? You know, we've done enough now. And that's happened with so many teams. That's why teams don't win trophies back to back, because it's difficult.
I'll tell you something as well.
So we don't give him credit. So when, just to finish the point, sorry, Guardiola is in there. He knows how difficult it is for himself to be motivated, for all the players to be motivated, for everything to keep going. And just, it's so difficult. You do not get that in football. And all of us on the outside are going, well, obviously not us, because not us, but everybody on the outside is going, that's too easy. It's because of money. What do you expect? Blah, blah, blah. He's on the inside of this. And he knows if he goes and he doesn't win the Champions League, he can say, well, look, we did fucking brilliant work in Manchester. Because coaching is not just winning and playing well, but it's going and adapting your ideas as a manager to another league. Like, how many coaches are coming in from like Germany or Austria, like Hasenhüttl, and it's like, okay, we want some of that, and you got to adapt your football. And that is a challenge for a coach to say, yeah, well, yeah, this worked in Germany, now I want it to work in England. And how many coaches coming from Spain to England? Doesn't work. That is the challenge in itself, just to get the ideas to come across, to get the players to do what you're doing, what you want them to do. And that might not mean a trophy at the end of it. It might not mean 4 Premier League titles in 5 years, but it means you're doing what they want them to do. And that is a success for a coach. So Guardiola sees all that. So if he left now, and the first question to him was, you didn't win the Champions League, what do you reckon? He would genuinely be like, fuck me, are you serious? Like, do you know how difficult that 7 years was? So all of us on the outside are going, it's all about the Champions League, isn't it? It's all about the Champions League. And I know this point's gone on for ages, but I think it's a good kind of conversation about Guardiola, given where we are and he's just signing this new contract. It's all about the Champions League. Obviously, he'd love to win it. City would love to win it. But he could look anyone in the eye and say, I've done great work in England. And he said it before, didn't he? He said, like, I think he actually said in one of those kind of, I'm being very arrogant, but I'm going to try and make it look humble. He goes, I've smashed all the expectations of me. He goes, I could have left already. Like, what we came here to do, we've done it. We have absolutely battered it. We could have gone already, but we're still here. We're still doing the job. Yeah. And it's not necessarily because they're waiting for the Champions League. It's just because the job's going well. They enjoy doing it. They've got a good thing. And yeah, so this Champions League thing, yes, obviously, if you leave City with the Champions League, then that will kind of, it's almost like the Messi, does he need to win the World Cup to cement his legacy as above Maradona, which is so kind of binary. But it is reductive, but that's how it'll be. If they win the World Cup, then that's what it'll be. It'll be, he's the best player of all time. He's done the same as Maradona now, so he's the best player of all time. And then Pele will go, I've got three. What are you talking about? but the thing is with City and Guardiola, because of all the moving goalposts, if he wins one Champions League, let's say 9 years, then it'll be, oh, well, one in 9 years isn't a lot. You know, he's only won three in all the years he's been a coach. What? 15, 16, 17 years. Or you add Haaland, what did you expect? That might even be the case if they win too. Go, well, you know, they're state backed, aren't they? So what do you expect? So, you know, it's not going to be that, but there is a bit of a you can't win situation with Guardiola, because on the one hand, the better it is, the easier it looks and the less praise you get. And on the other hand as well, as an extension of that, the more trophies you win, just the more that's expected of you. And yeah, they are really good. So why aren't you winning the Champions League? And that's how it'll be looked at. But the reality of it is, you know, Guardiola will be very pleased with his work so far, and like very, very justifiably so. And yeah, we'll see what comes next. If it's a disaster, then still did amazing work, but didn't end ideally, a bit like England conceding that penalty in the last minute against Iran. Yeah, that's a bit of a pain in the ass at the end. A bit like Brentford game before Christmas. A bit of a pain in the ass, but everything else was fine.
Yeah.
Everything else was great. Chances are the next 2 years, next 3 years or whatever, will be great as well. And then, you know, we'll analyse it then, and whether they've got the Champions League or not.
Yeah. All I wanted to say was just on your point about winning back-to-back and not having the players kind of drop off that 5% or whatever the next season. He did it with a group of players that Pellegrini had, that Mancini had, you know, by and large. And he got them to perform the next season when those two coaches couldn't. And that's, you know, that's an actual example from City's history, in the City's recent history, of him doing something that other great coaches couldn't do.
City were state backed and more money than everyone else when those coaches were there. And yeah, they did win the Premier League, and maybe Newcastle win the Premier League, because it's the same thing. If you do have money, obviously it puts you in a certain bracket. Talking about coaches coming in and proving their worth, if you've got better players, then obviously it helps. But obviously, you also need to be capable of managing those players. So it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
But yeah, City did not have that consistency. In fact, what was that kind of new history that City were building? They win the Premier League and then it would go horribly wrong the next season. And
yeah, it kept happening. Yeah.
It's so mad in football. Like, we just, like, look at all these examples. It's like what I was saying with Guardiola doesn't play with strikers, does he? Like, what do you mean? Just have a look. Like, just look at Wikipedia. You'll go, and surely the synapses will start firing up and going, oh yeah, he's had some strikers there, and oh yeah, Manchester City, they've had more money than everyone else for 15 years, but have they been battering everyone like this? No, they haven't.
Let's just finish with, I want to read out a tweet from an Arsenal fan that I follow, quote tweeting David Ornstein, his announcement that Guardiola's agreed that new contract. The Arsenal fan's exact words are, just F off and spend some time with your family, you freak. upsetting the rest of the league already.
Again, it's a sign that they're dreaming, aren't they, Arsenal? It'll be a good title race win. Well, I mean, maybe it won't be. But either way, my point here is, my point here is Arsenal are dreaming of winning the title, and that's very interesting. We'll see what happens after the World Cup. But for now, I'm very much focused on the World Cup. And I mean, the thing is, I'm obviously going to Argentina. I've mentioned it to kind of be like, well, Messi's last World Cup, this is what it's like. But I was supposed to be going for the Mexico and the Poland game, but we were like, I was like, it feels like it might be a bit of an anticlimax that. Was it Mexico? Yeah, Mexico, Poland, the last 16. So it feels like a bit of anticlimax. So we changed it. So I'm going for the last 16 and the quarterfinals. But obviously now, after losing Saudi Arabia,
got to get there.
I'm going to start packing, and I'm going to keep an eye on obviously we're watching it, but I'll be keeping an eye on the flights, because if they don't beat Mexico at the weekend, then they'll be changing my flights again, and I'll be straight over. So yeah, that is an interesting one. But yeah, I mean, I'm in World Cup mode now. I was like this during the Euros as well. Like, you go on and you see club accounts and stuff going, oh, they're just praising their own players. It's like, can everyone just like get in the same boat for once? Like, can it not just be tribal for a month? So yeah, I've absolutely no opinion on the title race. We've got loads of time to come back into that. Yeah, World Cup, good result with Argentina. That, you know, not ideal for me, but it's a result that kind of kicks off a World Cup, isn't it?
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to, well, England aside, well, I'm looking forward to going out with mates on Friday night and watching that. I'm looking forward to Brazil playing, Spain playing, Germany playing.
Yeah.
And then obviously we got the good news from the City point of view that Guardiola's staying. So yeah, happy days.
Well, we will reconvene ahead of that Liverpool Carabao Cup game, I think, Sam. I can't remember exactly the dates of when everything lines up. I can't remember even if the World Cup final. I don't know if the World Cup final gets in the way as well of when we could possibly record and when you're away, when Paul's away, all that sort of stuff.
We'll
have another one of these, you know, nearer the restart of the season anyway.
We'll be back. But look, it'll fly. Look, it's the end of November now. It's only, 3 weeks probably. 3 and a bit weeks until the final, and everyone will be focused on the World Cup anyway, so it'll fly.
Yeah.
Let's take this unprecedented opportunity to have a kind of nice little break in the season and not get too stressed out about things. And obviously, clearly, from a City point of view, things are going very well.
Yeah. So we'll catch up with you soon. But for now, thank you very much to Sam Lee.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, mate. Cheers for jumping on.
That brings us to an end for this special Why Always Us. Don't forget, you can read everything on Guardiola's extension and more in The Athletic right now for £1 a month for 6 months. Just use the code MANCITYPOD.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.